Get ready to hear the truth about America on a show that's not immune to the facts with your host, Dan Bongino.
So, I get asked a lot about the whole JFK assassination thing, given my prior line of work in the Secret Service, all the time. It's probably the question outside of, what's it like to work at Fox News? I get asked more than anything. I'm going to get to that in a second. Got that, because there was a new release of a trove of documents about the JFK assassination. I'm going to get to that. Also, I got a loaded show this weekend on my Fox News show. Got a great guest list I want to get to. And a powerful admission by the New England Journal of Medicine in a study basically saying, listen, the Republicans were probably right the whole time. Yes, they don't use that language, but we were right. Today's show brought to you by ExpressVPN. Keep your online activity free from prying eyeballs and big tech. Get a VPN. Go to expressvpn.com/Bongino. Today. Welcome to the Dan Bongino Show. Let's get right to it. Loaded show today. You can always tell what the media, what the Biden White House is worried about, but what the fact checkers and the media are up to, I'll tell you what they're worried about next. You can tell. Just listen. You just got to watch. And then you know your argument's failing when proponents and opponents of the argument are using the exact same argument. Woke culture. You'll see what I mean in a minute. If you're looking for a firearm that's easy to transport, you got to check out the U.S. Survival Rifle from Henry Repeating Arms. It's a portable rifle you can put together and take apart in a few minutes. And then when you're not using it, you can store the parts in the little case it comes in. It's so small, it can be stored anywhere, in a go bag, anywhere. It's light enough to carry everywhere. Comes in black and two different camo patterns. You can pick one up for $300 to $400, depending on the finish. You can watch a few videos at henryusa.com/survival. And while you're there, be sure to order their free catalog. Henry makes more than 200 rifles, shotguns, and revolvers, and they're all made in America, backed by a lifetime satisfaction guarantee and the best customer service in the business. Go to their website. It's henryusa.com and be sure to order a free catalog. They'll send it with free decals and a list of dealers in your area. That's henryusa.com for a free catalog and decals and to see the Henry U.S. Survival Rifle.
It is Friday, so Joe, if you would, kind sir.
It's Friday! Yeah!
Okay. All right. It sure is Friday. Okay. Hey, on my show this week, Unfiltered, which Joe will be watching. It's not on Friday, my show. It's on Saturday. I've got the best lineup, guest lineup we've had yet. Herschel Walker beyond.
All right.
Talk about the new NFL getting caught with some donations to some anti-police groups. I've got a Bitcoin debate and a cryptocurrency debate. Peter Schiff and Patrick Bet David. That should be awesome. And gold medal Olympic wrestler Tamara Mensa Stock. Remember, just a beacon of fresh air and light. Awesome. Awesome. I can't wait for that. And a rebuttal on the whole global warming, increasing tornado intensity, all that stuff. So that's going to be an interesting debate. All right, getting to the show. First, New York Post article. Oswald met KGB before JFK assassination, delayed records dump show. So this records dump on the JFK assassination, tragic, tragic moment. I mean, you ask anyone alive at the time. I obviously was not. They remember exactly what they were doing. I mean, it was quite literally a transformative moment in American history. Sensitive to me, even though obviously I wasn't alive at the time, because that's what I did. I mean, I was very proud of my prior line of work in the Secret Service. And given that this new records dump has come out, there's some stuff in there. A lot of it was already known, but that Oswald had met with the Soviets. And, you know, it's only controversial that it took so long to get this out there. But I get asked this a lot, and folks on my life, you know, horse blinkers on, all right? The Secret Service doesn't tell us anything. So why am I talking about this? Because I get this a lot, and I get 1,000 emails. I just want to get it out there. Right. They don't tell you. If there's any information out there about another shooter on the grassy knoll, I promise you, if I had it and I wasn't bound by some disclosure thing, I would tell you. I'm not. They didn't ask me not to disclose anything, so I'm not bound by anything. But they don't tell you anything. We study it just so it doesn't happen again. But I get this a lot. You must know about the JFK assassination. I promise you, I have nothing to add. I have nothing to add, so I can't answer your emails. I'm sorry. I'm not hiding it from you. If something happened, the Secret Service either doesn't know or isn't telling their agents. But just putting that out there so I can save you the email. I got a few emails about that. Dan, why aren't you talking about it? Because candidly, I have nothing to add, so I just don't want to waste your time. I don't. Okay, moving on to other stuff. Like, why'd you start a story like that? Because I'm serious. I get hundreds of emails on this. They must have told you something. No. You think I wouldn't have told you by now? Of course.
So it's a powerful admission by the New England Journal of Medicine, basically states that, hey, Republicans have been right the whole time. Folks, this is scary. I want to hat tip one of my listeners, Murray, who sent this along. This is a study from December 15th, 2021, just this week. Morin's, Townberger, and Fauci. Yeah, basically admitting we've been right the whole time. I want you to listen to this, folks, because it's an extremely powerful admission that we're not winning, COVID is winning, and that the things we've been doing in the past are not working, and we better damn well learn to live with this thing and develop treatments to learn to live with this thing, because we're not winning doing what we're doing now. Doesn't say that in those words, but listen carefully. This may be the most important thing you hear about COVID so far. Quote, listen to every word of this. Moreover, immunity following natural infection with SARS-CoV-2, combined with vaccine-induced immunity, has so far not prevented the emergence and rapid spread of viral variants, such as the highly transmissible Delta variant and the recently identified Omicron variant of concern, which, as of the end of November, appeared to be highly transmissible. It remains unknown whether and how permanent protective immunity can be achieved, and whether it can prevent the emergence of immune escape variants of SARS-CoV-2. You know, given the use there of, you know, relatively, you know, jargon, scientific-based language, not very complicated language, but I want you to understand how powerful what is written there in the New England Journal of Medicine is. They're basically saying what they're doing right now has been relatively ineffective. Folks, we've got to learn to live with this thing. We have to. We have to. The bad news is many of you out there in the listening audience will likely get infected with this at some point. I wish it weren't the case. I pray it weren't. It's not the case. There are a lot of high-risk people who could be in a lot of danger. But speaking to you like children and pretending we're beating this thing is just false. I had it. I got over it. The monoclonal antibody injections I got were near miraculous. Folks, we're working on treatments. We're going to have to develop some better vaccines. These vaccines have not worked very well. That's just, they're admitting it right here. It's not my words. Just read their own words. We have to learn to live with this with treatments and common sense. It's time to move on. As the Democrat, yes, Democrat governor of Colorado, Jared Polis, I believe a former congressman said, he's a Democrat. Pandemic's over, folks. It's time to move on. Vaccines are out there if you want them. Treatments are out there if you want them. Common sense. Stay away from sick people. Wash your hands. If you're in an indoor event, maybe, you know, be careful if you're around. That's it. Life's got to move on. More evidence that what we're doing right now is not working. This is all tragic, but none of this is schadenfreude, by the way, folks. People are dying. This isn't funny. It's not like some topic for humor. This is literally deadly serious. New York City, who keeps telling us they're doing everything right. See this NBC article? Cases are doubling. This Omicron variant now in New York. They keep telling us, here's a quote. We've never seen this before in New York City. The COVID rate, positivity rate doubled in 3 days. I'm not showing you this because anybody should be panicking, folks. Obviously not. I've been the anti-panic guy from day one. I'm simply here to tell you we've got to learn to live with this thing. It's not going anywhere. We have treatments. We have antibodies. Thankfully, the fatality rate has plunged since the early days of the pandemic when they didn't know how to treat it. But it's time to move on. It's time to move on. What's not helping is the panic brigade, especially in the Biden administration. The Biden administration wants to keep the panic going, especially the mask panic. For some reason, they keep, you know, they had an airline executive up there on Capitol Hill the other day, and he had mentioned that, you know, I don't think we really need this, the mask mandates anymore. Air is recirculated in the cabin. We have air scrubbers. We don't really need this. Well, that wasn't enough for Buttigieg. Pete Buttigieg, who there's not a human being on the planet. What do we say, Joe, about Buttigieg? There's not a human being on the planet who says less by saying more than Pete Buttigieg. Buttigieg didn't want to hear any of that. Buttigieg didn't want to hear any of that. So here it's time for, we haven't had this in a while, Joe. It's time for Bullshit with Pete Buttigieg. Hey. So clearly the mask mandates, vaccine mandates are not working. This New England Journal of Medicine story's pretty much acknowledging that. But that's not enough for Buttigieg. Buttigieg is like, airline executives don't feel the need for masks anymore on planes. I do. I mean, I'm Pete Buttigieg. Here it is. Here's Pete Buttigieg saying absolutely nothing by saying a whole lot about masks on planes. Check this out.
Well, we're going to continue to take our cues from what the CDC and other public health experts tell us. We know that masks are an effective means of slowing or preventing the spread. And look, I think we're all impatient with them. I get that. I feel that. Obviously, I travel a lot. But especially at a time when we still have uncertainty with new variants coming and going, it makes sense to err on the side of caution so that we can continue to have an economy and an aviation sector that's thriving.
Wait, Joe, he knows they're effective and should err on the side of caution. We've been erring on the side of caution for what's soon to be 3 years. And the caution's not working, but it is erring. It's definitely not working. But no worries, Pete. You just double down. Double masks on planes. Triple masks. Working so well. Strategy's just incredible. Apparently doesn't read the New England Journal of Medicine. Again, there's not a human being on planet Earth who says less by saying, by saying more than Pete Buttigieg. All right, moving on. I got a loaded show for you on Friday. You can always predict, always, what the Democrats and the White House are worried about. And by that, I mean the media too. They're all the same symbiote, right? By watching the fact checkers. I'm not kidding. If you have a high profile conservative page, and many of you out there who are in this business, you know what I mean. If you have like one of these blue checkmark fake book pages, right? About once every 7 to 10 days, you'll get a fact check. They'll try to ding your page and reduce its distribution. They do it typically, this is my opinion. They do it on kind of, maybe not explicit, but implicit kind of instructions from the administration when they're worried. The Biden administration right now is panicked about gas prices. The gas prices narrative is kicking them in the teeth. And why is that? I want you to think about it. It affects everyone. Rich, poor, middle class. You know, if the price of steak goes up, I mean, candidly, it sucks. The price of bacon is up. I don't eat bacon. I should. I love it. I don't eat it as often as it, you know, it's the kind of thing. All right, I don't get bacon. I'll have eggs. Well, eggs are up too. The thing about gas is there's almost no substitution effect at all. Everyone drives. Unless you have an electric vehicle, which is a small percentage of the population, everybody drives. When gas prices go up, everybody sees it. They put the credit card in or they take the money out of the wallet. What's the first thing they say? Holy, they're looking at the $180 to fill their Raptor or whatever they're driving, their dually F-150. And they're like, that's a lot of damn money. It's driving the Biden administration crazy. So they have to pretend, although they hate petroleum products and the energy industry shut down Keystone, stop drilling on federal lands, they have to pretend they're doing something. So what they did is that, I'm sorry, I never do this stuff twice, but this was hilarious. So the DCCC, the Democrat Congressional Campaign Committee, right, put out on their Twitter account a thanks Joe Biden covering just like the last couple of weeks and a small dip in the gas price. You can see it if you're watching the Rumble podcast on Rumble right now. U.S. regular gas, all formulations. So the price goes down a little bit, which it did over the past couple of weeks, and that's a good thing. Went down slightly. But if you'll notice, the graph goes from, where's that go from, Joe? November of, no, I can see it. I'm just messing with you. He's like scrolling out. It's part of the joke. The graph goes from November of 2021 all the way back, Joe, to November of 2021. Wow, that's quite a graph. I didn't say that wrong. It's a 7-day graph, maybe 14-day graph. Okay, very good. So the DCCC tweeted that out. So here's the real graph when you look at over time. Hat tip, was it the RNC who put this out? You are here. Here's the real graph from 2020 through 2021 of gas prices. This is the 18-month average of retail prices for gas. Yes, you are here, where it went from $199 to $342. Yes, gas prices are exploding. Thanks, Joe. Thank you, Joe. You're in. Let's go, Brandon. Right? Wait. We haven't done the Let's Go Brandon cowbell in a little while. So yes, gas prices are down. What, 10 cents over 2 weeks? They're also up dramatically. So this is driving them crazy because gas prices kick everyone in the tomatoes, right? So the media, bring in the righty. Go to the bullpen. Get them out of the bullpen. You got to get the media guys out there. Notice the coordinated narrative here to thank Joe Biden, just like the DCCC ordered him, for the slight decrease in gas prices despite the explosion over the last 18 months. Check this out.
Relief for the United States as energy costs drop.
That pain that you've been feeling at the pump, it may be short-lived.
There is finally some relief at the pump.
Good news at the pump.
Finally getting some relief, as you mentioned.
The national average price of gas dropped 4 cents in the last week.
Gas dropped nearly a nickel in the last week.
It's a 7-week low. It's moving in the right direction.
The average is now at a 7-week low.
Actually, a 7-week low.
Slightly lower gas prices, so that's good news.
Yeah, this is the kind of positive news we've wanted.
Really good economic news, including dropping gas prices.
Gas prices will tumble below $3 a gallon soon. So that's good news.
A person familiar with the White House's thinking told me today that lower prices at the pump are good news.
And I do think we have to note that gas prices and natural gas, for example, going way down.
There are plenty of signs that the U.S. economy is strong.
This economy moving in the right direction. It's not perfect. There are inflation concerns here, but there are a lot of things to be very, very grateful for as we head into the Christmas season.
It's like they get an email in the morning. Here are your talking points. We're really concerned about the narrative gas prices are up, because they are. You saw the 18-month chart. Biden obviously has not been in charge that entire time, but you see the slow crawl of gas prices going up dramatically since Biden got in office. And Guy brought up a good point while we were watching that. He's like, remember when gas prices were going up? What was the media narrative? We should have pulled a clip for this. It would have been great. The media narrative was, Biden has no control over gas prices? He didn't have anything to do with that. Now that it's down like a half a cent, I'm being dramatic. It's a half of it. Maybe it's down 10 cents. Like, oh no, man, Joe Biden. Thanks, Joe. Hey, man, Joe Biden. He's really knocking it out of the park. Hey, let's go, Brandon. He's really rocking it now. These people are incorrigible. They have no dignity at all. None. Nothing to do with the increase in gas prices. They go down a cent. Joe Biden did it. Joe Biden did it. Thank you, Joe. Media, bring in the righty. Go to the bullpen. Every single time. I'm telling you, I can predict it. When I see the fact checkers fact checking something like gas prices and Joe Biden, gas prices going down, I know the White House is deeply concerned about it. I know it. I can see it. I can almost predict it. Now you see the proof here. The media got their talking points like lemmings and they went and ran with it. All right. Let me get to my second sponsor. And I want to talk about how when proponents and opponents of an idea are using the exact same language, you know something's up. Woke culture, cannibalistic. It's starting to eat itself alive. More evidence coming up next. Don't go anywhere. Helix Sleep. They have a quiz. It takes just 2 minutes to complete. It matches your body type and sleep preferences to the perfect mattress for you. I have a Helix. I have a Midnight Lux mattress. It's the most comfortable mattress I've ever had. You, if you get Helix, you'll be getting a mattress you know will be perfect for the way you sleep. Everyone's unique. Helix knows that. They have several different mattresses to choose from. Soft, medium, firm mattresses. Mattress is good for cooling you down if you sleep hot, like I do. Mattress is great for spinal alignment to prevent morning aches and pains. And even a Helix plus size mattress for plus size sleepers. I took the Helix quiz. I was matched with the Midnight Lux mattress because I wanted something firm because I sleep on my side for my shoulder. Helix is terrific. I love the mattress. Paula loves the mattress. You're on it 8 hours a night. Get something comfortable. But don't take my word for it. Helix was awarded the best overall mattress pick of 2020 by GQ and Wired Magazine. Helix has been recommended by multiple leading chiropractors and doctors of sleep medicine as a go-to solution for improving sleep. Just go to helixsleep.com/Dan. Take their 2-minute sleep quiz, and they'll match you to a customized mattress that'll give you the best sleep of your life. They have a 10-year warranty. You get to try it out for 100 nights risk-free. They'll even pick it up for you if you don't love it, but you will. Helix even has financing options and flexible payment plans, so a great night's sleep is never far away. Helix is offering up to $200 off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners at helixsleep.com/Dan. That's H-E-L-I-X. helixsleep.com/Dan. Okay. You know, you can typically tell during a debate on a topic, whether it's woke culture or anything else, when the argument is senseless, when both sides are using the same argument, correct? I mean, if I'm going to argue like I am in a minute about what tax cuts and Trump did for the economy, I'm going to say Trump's tax cuts did this and led to this. The leftist isn't going to come on and say, well, I agree. They're going to say, no, the rich, I can already predict what they're going to say. The rich benefited, right? When both sides are using the same argument, probably means there's a problem. there's an issue, right? What do I mean by that? Remember this email from this Denver school district, whatever, Centennial, whatever it was? So the gist of this was they had segregated playgrounds going on. And the parents were like, wait, what? Like segregation? Joe, last time we checked, is that a real sign? Families of color playground night? Is that real? Oh my gosh.
Holy,
like that's insane.
Cow.
So this is like, you know, Joe and I laugh, but it's, you know, it's really not funny, but you, because what else, we don't know what else to do. Like, is this not obvious to the left? Like maybe if we use some kind of sarcasm, you'll get it. Like segregation, guys and ladies, is a really bad thing. Is this hard? I mean, I'm not joking. Like, is this hard? Again, Joe and I are sarcastic about something because we can't believe the left has somehow convinced himself that going back to segregation is a good thing. Like segregation, it's back. No, it shouldn't be back. It was a universally accepted bad thing at the time. We got it. We got it. We all agreed. Now we don't agree. The left is back. They want segregation again. So they sent out this email about this segregated playgrounds saying, hey, this is all about, you know, creating a space of belonging, you know, safe spaces. And it's about uniting us, not dividing us. What? No, it's literally about dividing you. That's literally what it's about. My point here in showing you how ridiculous this woke culture is there's this transgender swimmer at UPenn that's cleaning up. It's a biological male swimming with women and is cleaning up, just beating everyone by a long shot. So the parents of the biological female UPenn swimmers are like, hey, this isn't fair. So the Daily Mail has a piece on this, which you should read. I want you to pay very close attention to the language. Of course, Daily Mail, so as you know, this will be in the newsletter today. Longest headlines ever. Exclusive. The integrity of women's sports is at stake. Distressed parents of UPenn swimmers pen letter demanding that the NCAA change rules that permit trans Leah Thomas to dominate national college competition. That's just the headline. But listen to the language the parents used here. They said the precedent being set, one in which women do not have a protected and equitable space to compete, is a direct threat to female athletes in every sport. Folks, in other words, one of these people have to be wrong because they're both claiming the same idea, right? They're both claiming, are they not? You just read it. The segregationists are claiming we need safe spaces and equitable spaces, therefore we're going to segregate, right? The people with the non-woke culture, the parents who want biological females competing against biological females, the woke-itarians are like, no, 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 it's safer to have biological males competing against biological females. Both of those arguments can't be right. You know now woke culture is falling. This is why it's falling apart, why it's going to become inherently cannibalistic. When an idea is so insane like segregation and all these woke ideas that males should compete against females despite the obvious disparity in lung capacity and physical strength, that's just a scientific fact. Sexual dimorphism is a real thing, okay? It's not made up. It's not a conspiracy theory. When you put out ideas that are so ridiculous, this is how they're discredited, by just stating the obvious and using their own arguments against them. We need equitable spaces for segregation. No, we need equitable spaces to compete against people of similar muscle strength and lung capacity. You think this would be fairly obvious? Apparently not. Speaking of competition, Joy Reid had a great year, folks. Joy Reid had been training hard. I mean, she really, did she not have a good year, Joe?
Oh,
the
man,
beginning
yeah.
of the year, Joy Reid was as far down as I think the bronze in our Olympic medalist competition for talking head idiocy. She was. Joy Reid in the, you know, imbecile of the year was number three in that Olympic competition. Chuck Todd was number two. Stelter was number one. She worked her way up to the silver. Joy Reid has now a firm grasp on the gold in the dopey media talking head Olympics. And why? Well, in a moment of comic relief, which we always need, especially on a Friday, here is Joy Reid, who, before I play this, you know when you call people Karens, right? Karens, apparently, Joy Reid is claiming, was an insult that the black community uses for white women. This is Joy Reid. You'll hear her say, she says black vernacular. So Joy, that's not true, by the way. Dane Cook, a comedian, was using the term Karen to talk about, you know, people who are nosy and getting your business as far back as 2006. But Joy doesn't know any. Joy's just dopey. That's why she's the gold medal winner in our dopey media talking head Olympics. But let's just play the game for a minute, Joe, right? Guys, just process this for a second.
All right.
When I play this cut, let's pretend that calling someone a Karen is black vernacular, as Joy says. So Joy appears mad in this cut that an insult that's questionably racist, she's admitting that, like, you know, blacks insult whites, calling them Karens. She's upset that white people have then taken the insult Karen to call other white people Karens. This is not a joke. She's mad that a racist insult was taken by other white people to call other white people because she wants the racist insult to stay in the black vernacular. And you wonder why cancel culture is eating itself, because it's a cancer of stupidity. Here, watch it for yourself. Check this out.
Elon wasn't happy, so he did what he always did and stomped his little feet and insulted Senator Warren, calling her an angry mom and referring to her as Senator Karen. So for so many reasons, being a freeloader and a selfish and disrespectful one, and for misappropriating black vernacular for misogynistic purposes, Elon Musk is the absolute worst. Meanwhile, Senator Warren has better things to do than fight with Junior Birdman on Twitter.
So just to be clear, Elon Musk, who happens to be white, calls Elizabeth Warren Senator Karen because she's a busybody loser, right? Joy Reid is upset because she's saying it's a racist insult the black community should only be allowed to use to hurl at white people. And white people like Elon Musk shouldn't hurl this insult at other white people. I'm not saying it's racist. It's this dope. And she's upset. She's upset that this should be our racist thing. It's black vernacular. I can't. And you don't wonder. But if you're a leftist watching for the first time, wondering how Joy Reid has been so, so skilled at training this year and getting her gold medal. There you go.
Yeah.
That kind of sums it up right there, doesn't it? I'm doing fine. I promise. I am not sick. I promise you. I just, when I laugh, it's making me cry. I know this cough's going to be driving you nuts. All right. You know what? Let me get to my third sponsor. And then I want to get to kind of a downer story. I mean, not too bad, but more evidence that I'm just not convinced that the Department of Justice, the FBI, are going to do a damn thing about Spygate. The evidence is right in front of us. This guy just got off with a slap on the wrist. Slap on the wrist. So, you know, I get asked a lot as well, not just the JFK question in the beginning, but, hey, Dan, what do you think is going to happen with the Spygate thing? Do you think anybody's going to go to jail? I hope so. They obviously broke the law. But I'm just not optimistic about it. I'm sorry, and I base it on evidence. What kind of evidence? Well, here's an article by Paul Sperry, who's terrific. It'll be in my newsletter, Bongino.com/newsletter. You should check it out. Remember the lawyer who doctored the email about Carter Page from the CIA, which made it seem like Carter Page wasn't a source for the CIA?
Yeah.
Carter Page was a Russian foreign policy advisor to them. I'm losing my train of thought there. Foreign policy advisor to the Trump campaign. They used Carter Page to spy on Donald Trump, right? They said Carter Page had met with these Russians and therefore he was a spy. Well, what was the problem? Carter Page had met with those Russians at the behest of the CIA. And when the FBI had asked the CIA made it pretty clear Carter Page was meeting with these Russians because they had asked him. Well, this FBI lawyer doctored one of these emails and you would think he'd go to jail for a long time. Oh no, he's out. He's out, all right. Not only that, according to Paul Sperry, the Washington, D.C. bar is restoring convicted FBI Russiagate forger to good standing amid irregularities and leniency. Kevin Kleinsmith, FBI lawyer. Tell me again, are there's going to be justice in this case? So what's the solution? It's Friday. We don't want to complain. I've said the solution many times. Anyone running for office in 2022 or 2024, you better get on the record right now in the primaries when they need it. What are you going to do about the FBI and DOJ problem? What's the problem? The swamp rats. If you're not willing to clean house at the top, don't vote for them. They all got to go. Nothing's going to change till we get rid of the people causing the problems now. Nothing. Because remember, don't ever forget the golden rule. Personnel or policy. All right. Listen, I love this segment, okay? I'm going to just put this out there in advance. Some of you love economics, some of you don't. But I was on my radio show yesterday, and I got a ton of good feedback about this. I had mentioned, this is an old thing on the podcast. You've heard about it a lot, but I'd mentioned that there are two really pernicious, destructive leftist narratives about the economy. And if there were two, I wish would just go away because they're false and they'd never be brought up again. If I had the power to just snap my finger and make it go away, I dream a genie style, you know, wiggle the nose or whatever. The first one would be that the Reagan tax cuts cost the government money. In other words, we went into debt because of the Reagan tax cuts. Why is that narrative? Why does that bother? Why do you care, Dan? I care. It's nothing to do with Reagan. Frankly, it's nothing to do with tax cuts. It has everything to do with their ability to ingrain in the American psyche a narrative that is false, and they use it to discredit other tax cuts. In other words, this happened, the Reagan tax cuts, from 1980 to 1988 over a series of years. The numbers are there. The Reagan tax cuts did not cost the American people any money. The federal government raised more tax revenue because the economy grew. So although the tax rates were lower, the economy expanded so much, we actually raised more revenue. I'm going to prove it to you in a minute. The reason that's important now, Reagan's dead. The reason it matters now is because every time a tax cut's proposed, they keep bringing up the same argument. Oh my gosh, those Reagan tax cuts cost us money. Went to massive government debt from the Reagan tax cuts. It's false. The second narrative I'd love to dispel, and I dream a genie style, make it go away, would be that there was a Clinton surplus. There was never a Clinton surplus. It didn't happen. I'm not going into that again. Just look at the national debt every year of the Clinton administration. It goes up every year. How the hell does the debt go up if there was a surplus? It went up every year. There's no surplus. It's made up. What do you mean they made it up? That's exactly, they just made it up. Yet liberals still believe it happened. Why is this important? Here we go. Joe Scarborough from Morning Schmo. He was a former Republican congressman, or alleged Republican congressman. He is now a full-time leftist activist, and he was on his morning show claiming that some of the tax cuts he voted for, notably the Bush tax cuts, which also raised the largest four-year increase in tax revenue in American history at the time, the Bush tax cuts. But he keeps bringing up, again, how these Republican tax cuts redistribute wealth from the middle class to the rich and are causing inequality, basically insisting that the rich get off while the middle class pay more. You doubt me? Listen to him say it right here.
Well, the tax policies that I have supported through the 80s and 90s and that continue to be supported by Republicans in the 21st century have created the greatest income redistribution in the history of this planet from middle class Americans to the Elon Musks of the world. It's grotesque.
They did. Keep in mind, this guy, again, this is the reason why I tell you to never trust people in Congress. They are 535 between the House and the Senate of the dumbest people on planet Earth. Most of them, not all of them, that managed to get it. They don't know it. This guy was a congressman, and he's just lying to you on his television show. So just to be clear about his premise, because we do facts on this show, his premise is that the 80s and 90s tax cuts took money from the middle class and gave it to the rich. In other words, the rich paid less and the middle class paid more. Okay, did that happen? Here we go, receipts time. It's all bull. Washington Examiner, Christopher Tremagli. Working class won big under Trump's Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. He's insisting that the Trump tax cuts did this too and made Elon Musk rich. They did. According to the Heartland Institute, taxpayers with an adjusted gross income of $40,000, $50,000 received an average tax cut of 18% under the Trump tax cuts. Wow. Data show that taxpayers with an adjusted gross income of $1 to $25,000 decreased by more than 2 million in 1 year, while the number of households reporting incomes higher than 25,000 increased in every income bracket. So the middle class received a pretty massive tax cut under President Trump.
Yeah.
And it appears that people who were poor got richer. That's not what Joey Scarborough said. No, no, no. Former congressman, Morning Schmo host. He's saying the rich people got all their money from the poor people. Elon Musk stole it. doesn't have any data to back that up, of course. Ah, you may be saying, all right, he's lying about the Trump tax cuts, whatever. But he's definitely not lying about the Reagan tax cuts. You heard him. He said the tax cuts in the 80s. You heard him.
Yeah.
He said it, right? I supported tax. He's talking about Reagan, for the liberals listening who don't know Reagan was president in the 80s. So did the rich get over on the poor in the 80s during the Reagan tax cuts? So I said, ah, let's be fair. Washington Examiner is relatively right-leaning. I said, let's try a leftist source just to show you how dumb these people are. Here's Glenn Kessler, one of the dumbest human beings on planet Earth, but he writes for the Washington Post. He was trying to fact-check Rand Paul. Except this fact check didn't work out as planned. Here he acknowledges that the rich, after the Reagan tax cuts, paid more. The Elon Musks of the 80s paid more, not less. Here, I'll read you the quote. Washington Post. Certainly the share of taxes paid by the top 1% went from 17.9% in 1981 to 25.2% in 1989. The Reagan years. For an increase of 41%. According to who? IRS data. Oh my gosh, well, it must be real. But the income share of the top 1% increased even more, from 8% to 14%, a gain of 71%. Exactly. That's the point. So just to be clear, Glenn Kessler's big mad because rich people paid a greater percentage of the tax load, Joe, wait for it, because they got richer.
No.
Oh my gosh. You can't have that happen. Hang them by the toenails. Il bastardo, get them out of you. How, my gosh, how do you let this happen? What a bunch of turd burglars. My gosh. So the rich people paid more taxes, and Glenn Kessler thinks it's a problem. They not only paid more in number, but a greater percentage. But it's definitely a problem because they got richer in the Reagan years, along with everyone else. How do I know that? Just go back to the tax brackets and the tax brackets that shrunk in the Reagan years. You'll notice something. The middle class shrunk in the Reagan years. Oh my gosh, what happened? They got poorer? No, they all got richer. Look at the number of people in the middle class tax brackets and look at the number of people in the wealthier tax brackets after Reagan got out of office. You'll notice they all went up. Now, proving Joe Scarborough wrong on the, well, listen, we redistributed income from the middle class and the government lost a bunch of money. He didn't say that, but the leftists will tell you that. Really? Wall Street Journal, Phil Graham and Michael Salon. When Reagan left office, real federal tax revenue was more than 19% higher than the day of his inauguration. Real revenue. That's inflation adjusted for you leftists. A major recession was overcome. Inflation was broken. The tax code was indexed. And the largest tax cut of the post-war era had been implemented. Now, do you understand why dunces like Joe Scarborough continue to attack the Reagan, Trump, and Bush tax cuts? Because they don't want to admit the obvious, that the economy exploded, and in a double whammy of success here, what happened? Tax revenue went up too. Even the government benefited. Now, let me give you a common critique you'll hear so you're ready. A common critique you'll hear from leftists is, well, tax revenue went up during the Reagan years because Reagan hiked the capital gains tax. Oh, he did, 20 to 28%. He cut the income tax and cut a number of other taxes too. Which is weird. That's kind of a stupid claim because when you go to the Tax Foundation and you look at the charts, you'll see that the largest increase in tax revenue by far came from, oh, income taxes. In 1980, $244 billion when Reagan gets into office. And in 1989, when he leaves, the income tax revenue is $445 billion. So let's look at the capital gains tax revenue. Surely that was all of it, right? Well, no, not so much. You don't have that fact on your side either. Capital gains tax revenue, $12 billion when he got into office. And then he got out of office, $35 billion. So the overwhelming majority of taxes and the tax increases came from individual income taxes from wealthier people who, although their tax rates were lower, were paying more. Folks, they just make it up. They just make it up all the time. The numbers are never on their side. Factoids, you know, data, it matters. All right, let me get to my last sponsor, and then I got questions for Dan. Good questions this week. Really good. Like, they're getting better by the week. If you'd like to submit a question next week, download the Locals app or go to locals.com. You can follow me. I'm at DBongino. If you want to subscribe, I'd appreciate it. I do some exclusive content. It's kind of the Dan Bongino reality show over there. We've got a lot of subscribers. They seem to be enjoying it. You can also submit questions there too. And you can always submit questions on Rumble, rumble.com/Bongino. All right, it's time for Questions with Dan. Oh, you actually played it this time. Cool. Wow, that's the first time Guy actually played the stinger. Usually I have to pretend it's there. That's pretty cool. Nice job. All right, question number one from Micah Joe. Hey, Dan, can you post a short video for lady subscribers on how to protect yourself while out at night? Maybe a couple of defensive moves with Paula. You know, I thought about this a while ago. Did a little segment on Fox and Friends once with my good friend, former UFC champ, Matt Serra. But here's the thing. One, it's such a litigious society. Seriously, if somebody tries something, they'll be like, oh, Dan Bongino, show me in those suits. Really, I'm not even kidding. Like, it's that ridiculous. But second, it's really not that easy. I mean, the bad news is, if you really want to learn how to defend yourself, you really should go take a good Brazilian jiu-jitsu class. It takes about a year. The best advice I ever got was from Matt Serra about Brazilian jiu-jitsu. The best part about it for women is, God forbid, you're out in the middle of the night and some animal tries to sexually assault you. Most of it has to be done on the ground without going into the gory detail. You get it. I mean, I get you understand what happens. The best part about Brazilian jiu-jitsu is it teaches you how to use the ground to be your friend. Take a year's worth of classes. It's a lot to ask, I know. We'll go once a week. That's 52 classes. I promise you, by the end of the year, you will be a really, really bad target for a bad guy. I promise you. But short videos aren't going to do much. You got to practice it. You got to feel it. You have to feel what it's like to be able to move people on the ground. But good question. It's question number two, Chambers 684. Hey, Dan, I love the energy and passion you bring to every podcast. Would you ever consider doing an explicit podcast where you wouldn't have to censor yourself? I'd love to hear you let loose. Love the show and keep up the good work. You know, I thought about this. Now, let me just say, what's that? I really did. I thought Guy wants to do it too. I don't like explicit podcasts for the case of cussing. Hey, look at me. It's nothing cool about cussing. You sound like an idiot. You sound like an uneducated moron. Having said that, I'm never going to lie to you. I'm not going to spin your wheels ever. I have this really just nasty New York mouth. I just do. I've been trying my best. I know there's nothing Christian about it. I know it. I'm not proud of it. I'm not. But Joe's laughing because he's, you know, heard it. I also have the most ferocious temper in human history. I thought about it and just not worrying about it because I do censor myself language-wise, not content-wise, but language-wise on the show. But I feel like it would almost incentivize me to cuss, and I don't want to. I'm trying to stop it. So I don't know. I'll think about it. But really, it's not for the sake of cussing. It's for the sake of talking about stuff I want to talk about without the family-friendly filter on, if you know what I mean. So we'll consider that. Good question. This is from @TDavidWO2. Hey, Dan, at the Trump-O'Reilly history tour last weekend, some Secret Service agents were dressed in suits. Others had full tactical gear. The suits seemed completely focused, and others seemed chill. Can you explain behind the scenes what's going on? Yeah, without giving up any, you know, secret information here. So when you're in the Secret Service protecting the president or former president with the profile of Donald Trump, and you're on what's called the shift, or I guess what we'd refer to as the body man. Those are the guys you see on TV on the rope line right around the president. You see them, they got the glasses on. They're always... The reason they always look serious and the other guys look chill is because the guys on the shift, they all have an assignment. I don't mean an assignment like, hey, protect the president. Yeah, we get it. That's the assignment. No, they have an assignment. Like, you have to do this and this and this, and that's on you. So what you'll do is on Air Force One before you land, it's like a ballet. They'll pull out a diagram of the site. And they'll say, it's almost like the NFL, like, hey, you're going to cut left and cut. I'm serious. Like, that's what they do. It's like chalk talk, right? You know exactly what you're supposed to do. You're serious because you don't want to mess up. But secondly, you're serious because on that rope line, your zone is your zone. If something happens in your zone and the president, God forbid, gets hurt, that's you. You're done. You don't want him to get hurt because you don't want him to get hurt. But that's your job. So that's why they're laser focused. Why did the other guys seem chill? Because there are some guys out there who are kind of like rovers. Believe me, folks, we're not giving up anything secret here. It's on, you can watch a lot of it. I'm not giving up the moves or what they do or how they do it. But some of them are rovers and they have bigger assignments. the bigger assignment is just keep the whole picture in. You're not, you don't have a zone. Just watch the whole thing. Make sure there's no airplane coming in. You get it? Make sure there's no smoke in the distance. Because think about it. When you're on the shift and you're focused right ahead on hands right in front of you, you know, there could be an elephant behind you. You're not going to see it. So that's the way they break that up and they see the forest for the trees. That's why the other guys look pretty chill, because they are. They're just sitting there kind of looking around, talking to people, getting a vibe for the room. So there you go. Good question. At Chaplain Matt. Hey, Dan, I'm a Buffalo, New York native, trauma chaplain and pastor to the first responder world. Since you've done it, how much work does it take, he says, for goofs like us to get elected in my neck of the woods? Well, you're not a goof. I know you're just being funny, but folks, it's hard. It's extremely hard. On my first time running for office, I probably should have run for like dog catcher or librarian or something, but I ran for the U.S. Senate. And so I met Joe years ago. I was probably crazy. When you say Joe, it's probably pretty nuts. I mean, yeah. Running for U.S. Senate for like, hey, you may want to run for city council, but nah, I'm going to run for U.S. Senate. Well, I won. I won the primary, which shocked everyone. I beat like 9 other people. Would I recommend you do it? Listen, is it hard? Yes, it's extremely hard. And I'll tell you why. The general election is not your problem. If you're a first time, this is for Chaplain Matt and first time candidates. If you're a millionaire, billionaire, you do whatever you want. You get all the money. The problem with running for office with no name ID, Chaplain Matt, zero name ID. No one knows who you are outside of your town or your family. Is name ID costs money and your problem's going to be the primary. Why? Because on the primary, it's only name ID. They're going into a Republican primary. Joey Bag of Donuts, Johnny Two Times, Timmy Two Legs. They don't know who any of these people are. You got $1 billion to spend on a campaign. Believe me, they'll know quick when you send out 1 million mailers. They'll be like, oh my gosh, enough of Timmy Two Times. I've seen his mailers. I didn't have any money. So how'd you win the primary? I busted my ass. You know what I did? I got campaign signs that said jobs, not taxes. And every day for about a year, I sat at major intersections in Maryland and said jobs, not taxes with a big Dan Bongino sign. And people just remembered the name. But you're asking me if it was hard? Yeah, it was hard. It was hot. It rained. I have pictures of it. Maybe I'll post it on the show next week of the pouring rain, me and Brandon from my campaign getting soaked in Prince George's County, Maryland. Yes, it's extremely hard. Once you get past the primary, could be in better shape. Because why? Then it says Republican in front of your name. So people may not know who you are, but they know what Republican means. So you're probably safe once you get past the primary if you're in a Republican district. Another good. I told you the questions were good this week. This is at Will McNeely. Hey, Dan, regarding the stock market, how it's going up due to printing of cash. If this is true, does that mean at some point it'll have to correct itself? What would you say if the safest area to invest right now? He says he already bought CFBI stock. That's the Rumble thing. Well, I am not a stock recommender or picker. Is the stock market going to correct itself and come down? That is most certainly a distinct possibility. Why? Because a lot of asset managers and very wealthy people have managed to leverage the printing of money. There is an enormous amount of digital and paper cash out there right now. Why not borrow it, put it in the stock market? The problem with that is eventually the stock market, which is the net present value of a stock based on future returns, is what are those future returns? They have to be based on, this is overly complicated. You have to grow your business. Simple as that.
Thank you.
And a lot of people out there aren't growing their business. They're just playing with money and digital games. That's why. So yes, I do think there'll be a correction. I hope it's no time soon. The last one, the Lucy one. Oh yeah. I'm not a stock picker, so I don't want to give you any stocks. All right. So, hey Dan, this is Kim Tro 65. What's Lucy, my wonderful dog? She is a golden doodle getting for Christmas. She went to the vet today. She's very healthy. Thank you for checking up on her, folks. She is getting one of these puzzle toys, my wife says, where it's like a dog puzzle. And every time she figures out how to like pull the thing, she gets a treat. And of course, we're going to spoil her with some ribeye and chicken and everything else because I love my dog. My dog is really great. She's awesome. I never thought I'd be a dog person. Joe's a dog person now, too.
Yes, I am.
Right, Joe?
Yes, sir.
And Joe's got a new buddy there.
Yeah.
And Joe did the right thing, a rescue, because he's awesome. That was really solid, Joe.
Thank you, sir.
What's the dog's name? I forgot.
Kit.
Sorry.
K-I-T.
Kit. I'm very sorry. I didn't ask. There you go. See, Joe's a good man. Rescued that dog. What was this? Oh, at M. Sherry. No, it's M. Sherry. Sorry, not at. Love your show. Here's a question for you. If the GOP picks up the House and Senate in 2022 and the presidency in 24, can they right the failing Biden economy and inflation, or will the damage be gone too far by then? It's a good question. If the Fed doesn't raise interest rates and get a hold of the money supply now and start tapering their bond purchases, if we don't get a lid on spending and crush this Build Back Worse plan, yeah, it will have gone too far. That's what scares me. But we can fix it. If we can shut down Build Back Worse and the Fed starts drying up the money supply, yeah, it can be fixed. Reagan did it. We can do it. Michelle Ballard. If you had to vote for a Democrat for president, which one would you vote for? Would you choose? Joey Bag of Donuts. Why? Because he doesn't exist. Because I'd never vote for a Democrat. Ever. You'd have to kill me. I'm really sorry. I will never, ever vote for a Democrat. Thanks for the question, though. I appreciate it. All right, folks. Don't miss my show. Unfiltered. Set your DVR if you can't make it live. Saturday night, 10 p.m. Unfiltered on the Fox News Channel. Tamara Menzies-Scott. Just, again, a beacon of light. Gold medal wrestling winner. Herschel Walker, a big debate on cryptocurrency and Bitcoin, a big debate with me and a leftist on this, connecting the tornadoes to global warming. It's going to be a loaded show. Don't miss it. I'll see you then. Thanks for another great week. I'll see you all on Monday.
Good day, sir.
You just heard Dan Bongino.